much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You are not going to like what happens next.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Spock, sabotage the system. Spock, restore the atmosphere. Spock, sabotage the system. I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock.
We have line 193 again with sabotage and sabotage.
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
That son of a bitch!
That is the worst 3 seconds of my life listening to that.
Remember Paula Abdul's?
Just because someone has breasts does not mean you can tell them to make you a sandwich!
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Get in my vagina.
She blinded me with boogers.
I love euphemisms. By euphemism, I mean when you say something and something else.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wow.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I hate you.
Roll another one.
I'm a virgin with white guys.
Just like the other one.
That's not brown rice.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yeah.
And I need another hit.
Shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Shut up, you motherless whore.
Roll.
I like soccer. It is good.
Just like the other one.
This is not my kind of comedy.
You're a bastard, son of a bitch.
I don't have another cent.
I have a lot more entertainment for you. Come on, so don't call it a night.
And how often have you used it?
Just pass it around.
You've got to lower your expectations.
Such big liars.
And now,
isn't it a shame that this kind of thing has come up? It's what the Bible calls an abomination.
Our feature presentation.
That's not the first time that word has been used for us.
Nope.
It's the world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, an all new program for a Friday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How are they? Okay, good. Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Good times last night.
Oh, dear God. 3-0. This is crazy.
It's insane. It's getting crazy now. It's getting to the point now where people are going, can this team ever lose? And I'm not, this isn't one of these jokes. I'm saying no one's 11-1 in the playoffs. No one.
Yeah, against the best teams in the league. It's just outrageous. No one thought. I mean, it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Did you have any? I mean, how did you feel they were going to do in the playoffs? Obviously, it was dodgy that last couple weeks, even getting into the playoffs. But did you feel that they were just going to be hanging on, and every series was going to be a fight for their lives, or did you think that they were just peaking at the right time and this was going to happen?
Here's the weird, frustrating thing about being a Kings fan is that they always underperform, and they had built a team this year that could play this well and never did. So all season long, we were frustrated because. Look, we've got this guy, we've got this guy, we've got this guy. How are we not playing better?
Mm-hmm.
So now, finally, we are playing as the team that was built should be playing. So it's not a surprise that they are, but it's sweet that they're peaking right now.
Yes.
You know, that the pieces are all coming together and they're playing right now. But to think you could beat Vancouver, the number one team in the West, 4-1, and then sweep the St. Louis Blues, who are number two. And then 3-0 against the Coyotes that are number three. It's absurd.
It's stunning.
Nobody expects to do that.
You don't expect to sweep in any round of the playoffs,
no
matter what sport you're playing in, because the people you're going up against are generally pretty good.
They're all real good, right? Everybody in the playoffs. So it's crazy.
Well, It is weird. It's been a long time since you've started to see non-hockey fans perk their ears up and pay attention as they realize that the team is this close to going to the Stanley Cup.
And it's weird, too, because being there in person with when they play hockey, they never stop, basically. There are very few whistles, unlike the NBA or whatever. So for the last 3 minutes of the game, everybody is on their feet cheering as loud as they can for 3 minutes straight while they watch the clock count down. It's just – it's absurd.
Very exciting.
So fun.
Very exciting times. Hey, quick story. It had been a while since I thought about that that lady who perpetrated the Wendy's hoax. Remember, she said she found a finger. It was a crazy story. She said she found her finger in the food, and she and her husband both ended up going to jail for a long time as a result of that. You guys remember this.
Sort of, yeah.
She had bought a finger from somebody that she worked with who had lost a finger in some unrelated accident and took it to Wendy's and tried to claim that she found it in her chili, remember?
What did she think was going to
happen? She bought it from them?
Yeah, she bought. She paid $100 for the finger, right. And Wendy's had, I mean, they estimated, and who knows if this was just for the benefit of the trial, you know, when they defended themselves, but they estimated that they lost $2.5 million in sales as a result of the controversy and the publicity of a finger being found in their food. Well, the reason I bring all that
that's up. That's why they call it finger foods, people. No.
I'm bringing this up because it has happened again, this time at an Arby's in Michigan. A human finger. Ryan Hart, 14, was eating a roast beef sandwich when he bit into a piece he described as particularly rubbery.
Ew.
He spit out the item, which turned out to be part of a finger measuring about an inch long and a quarter inch thick. Now, he claims that this happened. He found this finger May 11th in a restaurant. And I got to thinking, particularly, you know, my radar is up a little bit after what happened with the Wendy's story. What are the chances, honestly, that somebody loses a finger at a place as small as an Arby's restaurant kitchen, and everybody doesn't know about it that works there? Isn't there
There's
somebody?
There's no chance.
Zero.
There's somebody working next to you at the fryer who you tell, I have to go to the hospital. I just lost a finger, right?
Yes. Oh, I think it's zero, yeah.
And you take your finger with you if you cut off your finger, right? If you can.
Well, you don't put it in a burger, if that's what you're saying.
Health officials said the worker likely left her area after cutting her finger on a meat slicer. Other employees, allegedly unaware of their coworker's injury, continued with their regular duties. Once informed of the incident, the restaurant team stopped food production and cleaned and sanitized the restaurant. But it still just doesn't seem like I don't see how that could happen.
I think you're going to find out the same thing as the last time.
Yeah.
That somehow it came in from the outside. And
I mean, part of what sunk the Wendy's couple is that nobody at the restaurant had had a finger injury. And then they went to the place that makes the chili, and nobody there had had a finger injury. So that's when they started to say, hey, where's the finger coming from?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that difficult to do a finger count.
Right. Yeah. How many people could be working at the Arby's that day, right?
Or whoever's standing there in a pool of blood.
Wait a minute.
You know, that would be that'd
be your
guy.
You're in blood and you only have 9 fingers. Could it have been you?
So anyway, I don't know if this one is going to end up to turn out to be a hoax or not, but it does seem awfully weird that somebody could lose even part of a finger and not let that be known immediately and look for it before you serve up the next burger.
Who's hungry?
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay, look, what you're feeling right now is regret and shame.
Not yet. We will feel regret and shame at the end of the show, but we're not feeling that yet. Adam Carolla will be here talking about This Week in Range.
I read his book this week, by the way.
Did you really? His whole book?
Yeah. He's so funny, Adam Carolla. He's so funny. And it's, you know, we've known Adam for a long time. I'm looking forward to talking to him about this because I had no idea most of what his life was like coming up. I mean, the dude was dirt poor, worked the worst jobs in the world, and still, against all odds, managed to succeed and turn himself into a brand. I mean, it's very impressive.
You want to hear something funny?
Sure.
I just turned around to ask Beer Mug for something. Asleep. Mm-hmm. He's asleep.
Were you?
He's asleep in the studio right now?
His eyes were closed. I was waving. I was waving at him. And I thought, how could I be waving at him and he's 1 inch away? His eyes were closed and he was sleeping.
Was he standing up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sleeping like a cow?
Yeah, so
leaning.
This is going to go well. Funny penis injuries on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Awesome.
Two different stories of magnets, which is not something you would ever guess could cause a penis injury. But apparently, the magnets wouldn't let go. They had themselves something they liked and they would not let go.
Guys will not leave your junk alone.
Well,
that's
yeah,
what I know.
That is true. That is
and
true.
And we'll ask the listener that this happened to, but I don't even see why you think magnets are a good idea. That's not going to feel good.
Well, I don't know, yeah. Because we do have a listener that we told a story, and then a listener said, that happened to me, too. So we lined up the listener to say, hey, how's that a good idea?
Yeah, really.
How's that going to work? Best case scenario, what were you expecting?
Right.
We're going to talk to somebody from the Pacific Pole Championships, which Lisa was the she was the champion in 2007-2008,
yep.
And she had a good run, but then she backed out and let other people have a try.
It's a lot of work, let me tell you.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday. Ralph is back with a look at the showbiz. We have Kurt Sutter with a TV show called Kurt Sutter's Outlaw Empire, and it's all about gangs and bike gangs and everything else. It looks fantastic, a Discovery show. And we have your tickets for the Black Keys coming up, too. So keep listening, and we will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat next.
Brad Williams, you had a tremendous growth spurt overnight.
Yes,
what
I
happened?
Took some vitamins.
You look crazy.
Now look at me.
Yesterday.
Ralph, you should have seen
Brad smash.
You should have seen Brad trying to get into your chair. It's quite funny.
He struggles with regular size furniture.
Is he? Yeah.
Poor little bastard.
It's good to have you back, buddy. How was Kentucky?
It was outstanding. It was a sold out event there for me and Kevin Smith doing the Hollywood Babylon thing. And it's weird to go to other cities and get that reaction. You know, here in L.A., I've been on the radio for a bunch of years. Smith is known about town. He's known being our show for a bunch of years. So when we get a crowd, we say, well, yeah, because people know us. So you go to someplace like Louisville, and you walk out on stage and get that reception. It's just it's kind of a mind-blowing thing. But
sort of ready to try and win them over, and they're already
there. Yeah, they're already on your side. So nice. You forget the power of the podcast.
That's
anyway,
cool.
We had a blast. It was a good time, and it's a very nice city and nice people. And it's good to be home, though. It's nice to be back.
And that's the way to go, is to come back on a Friday, too, by the way.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm exhausted. This week has got to be over.
The difference between you and me is I'd call and go, yeah, I missed my flight.
Yeah.
Sleep in.
Well, I appreciate you guys picking up the slack while I was gone, but yeah, good times. And speaking of Hollywood Babylon, this Saturday, tomorrow night, doing it back up at the Lovitz, City Walk, 10 p.m., but with Jay Moore this time. Jay Moore will be my guest host.
So one of the funniest people alive.
Really, he is. I'm looking forward to Jay and I trading barbs up there on the stage. So if you want to go, you can go to thelovitz.com for tickets and information. But love to see you tomorrow night with me and Jay. Sad news this week. Donna Summer, yesterday was announced, passed away after...
What the heck was that?
It was a nice tribute from Dean.
She was an icon...
Mario Brothers.
Of the disco era. I don't think she played Mario Brothers. I think she was more into disco.
Point. I think that's the sound of death.
63 years old. Apparently she had a long battle with cancer that she finally
succumbed
to.
Very sad. Really, really sad.
Before there was Madonna, before there was Lady Gaga, before there was any of these sort of pop divas, the Britney Spearses, the Christina Aguileras, there was Donna Summer. She was it. She was the queen. What a list of hits. Love to Love You Baby was her first one. Then Last Dance, Hot Stuff, Bad Girls. She Works Hard for the Money. Dim All the Lights.
On the Radio, MacArthur the radio. Park.
Yeah, man, what a bunch of hits. And she was a super talented lady. A real deal, the real voice. Nobody was auto-tuning her. She had a great voice up until last year I saw her on television.
Really?
She was still knocking it out of the park. But they say she lost her life to lung cancer, apparently. So, sad news. Good news, Jenny McCarthy's getting naked again. She's going to be in Playboy again.
Really?
Yeah. 19 years after her original layout.
Wow.
She is going back to the pages of Playboy, which is kind of funny because for many years after she did it, she said she regretted it and no one took her seriously and blah, 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 blah.
Now that she knows no one's going to take her seriously for sure.
And now she's got a new show coming on the air called Love in the Wild, where she hosts people who are camping who try to meet singles and the wilderness.
What? Jeez.
It's like Survivor mixed with The Bachelor.
What?
They put them
it's
out in the
show?
Wilderness. Yeah, they put them out in the wilderness, and they team them up and make them do competitions and stuff, and I think you try to find true love.
If you can start a fire with these two pieces of wood.
Who knows?
You can go on a date.
Anyway, she's looking to promote that thing, so the new photos hit stands June of the 29th is when that issue
She still looks
out.
Good, too,
she
by
does
the
look
way.
Good, yeah.
Not everyone
saying.
Can go back 20 years later and pose and you're still interested, but
she did have
I'll
her
take
implants
a peek.
Taken out.
Did
really?
She really? I didn't know that.
Who's interested then?
I usually keep up with her breasts. I'm surprised I missed that bulletin.
He has a Google alert on her breasts.
Joey Lawrence from Blossom has a new gig. He is going to be performing with the Chippendales in Las Vegas in June.
I did that in March. It's a good time.
Yeah, you worked with the Chippendales?
Sure.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Did you put a little bow tie and the cuffs?
Featured performer.
You were featured.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things are tough for Joey from Blossom, I guess. Whoa. I'm going to be naked. Brooklyn Decker.
Yes.
says that she knows her husband, Andy Roddick, will be a great dad. When asked why by Us Weekly magazine, she says, I have a guy who will be with me all the way through, even when I'm moody. Yeah, look at yourself. That's why he's with you, no matter what. Look at you. You're Brooklyn Decker.
Even when you're moody, you look like that.
You still look like that. He's like, oh, she's a bitch, but I guess it's worth it because eventually, later on tonight, I'm going to deck her. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I think I know what you mean.
And tragic news for my two-year-old daughter, Olivia.
What?
I don't know how I'm going to break this to her. The Wiggles are breaking up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's leaving a lot of cash on the table.
The Wiggles are leaving. Three of the original members are leaving the show.
That really is for children two and under, right?
Nah, I say no, I think 10 and under.
10?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Nah.
All right.
It's preschool, 4, 5, 6, I guess, somewhere in there is probably their target demo. But they are leaving. They were splitting up. Apparently, the constant touring, 500 live shows a year they do, by the way.
What?
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
500 live shows
a year.
How is
that possible? A lot of two-a-days.
Yeah, multiples. A lot of matinees, I'm sure.
A lot of blow.
Constant touring. I've split them apart. They are handing over the purple, red, and yellow tights to a new crew of Wiggles. They're replacing the Wiggles! The oldest member is 58 years old, by the way, and it is kind of creepy to see an old dude like that saying, yeah, do the monkey with me, kids! No, you're creepy old guy. I want away from my children. They make $45 million a year, the Wiggles.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's their take.
Wow.
So I guess these guys are set. They probably don't need the cash, and they're tired of touring, so they are passing the baton to a younger breed of Wiggle.
That's unbelievable.
And while we're talking about celebrities and musicians particularly and how rich they are, it was widely considered for a long time that Sir Paul McCartney was the richest musician in the world when it came to pop music, worth about a little over $1 billion. That all changes today. Officially, Bono is now the world's richest musician.
Really?
You know why?
No, why today?
No, why?
He was an early investor in Facebook.
Really?
Back in 2009, Bono and a couple partners bought 2.3% of Facebook for $90 million. Today, due to the IPO, of course, the stock for Facebook is being released today. That is now valued, that 2.3% is now valued at $100 billion.
No, no.
What?
No,
that can't be.
Yes.
No, yeah. I'm sorry.
Facebook is valued at $100 billion. That means Bono's share, the 2.3%, will be worth $1.5 billion.
Oh, man.
You know, I was thinking of making that investment.
Were you?
That same
with
amount.
Your 90 million?
And then I thought,
with your $90 million, you're going to buy
some?
Yeah. Wow.
So Bono now $1.5 billion richer as of today. Congratulations, Bono.
Wow.
Look, if you really want to feed Africa, just buy it now.
Yeah,
just buy the country
seriously.
And feed them.
Good idea.
All right? Wow. Put your money where your mouth is, St. Bono. Get everybody clean water, mosquito nets, and all the food you want. Just do it right now. You got it. Do it.
That's crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo is 62 years old today. He's also always on the Yo Gabba Gabba. I know way too much about children television now. Chow Yun-Fat. Hey! He's 57 years old today. Singer-guitarist Paige Hamilton of Helmet. He's 52 years old today. Martika. Remember Martika?
Sure.
Tin Soldiers.
Oh, yeah. Tin Soldiers.
Tin Soldiers!
Toy Soldiers.
Toy Soldiers!
You're shouting the wrong one really high.
Yes. 43 years old. Jack Johnson is 37. Clippers power forward Reggie Evans. How did that make its way to my list, I wonder?
I wonder who put that list together.
I wonder who puts my list of birthdays together every morning.
Not my fault.
Yeah. He is 32 years old. And Tina Fey, comedian Tina Fey from 30 Rock and Saturday Night Live, is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Sons of Anarchy creator Kurt Sutter joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his new program called Outlaw Empire. It's going to be tough for you, Kevin, to revisit your gang days talking to Kurt. Right?
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Got to be done. That's coming up also.
Where were you, Kevin? You a Crip of Blood? Where were you?
I was Santa Monica, whatever that one is. 13? What do they call that? The 13? Forget it.
I don't know.
It's best you don't admit it anyway.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Ralph is back. It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world
Someone has been watching.
One man.
Is that a surprise?
Risk time everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Mugs asleep again?
No, that was me. That was me.
Was he napping?
Nope, that was me napping.
All right. New movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Some big, big, big movies. Some smaller, interesting ones as well, like Hysteria. Lisa's going to go see this one.
Tell me all about it.
This is the story of Mortimer Granville.
I'm in.
I don't know who that is.
He was a turn-of-the-century physician who believed that a lot of women's problems mentally came from what they called hysteria.
Which was actually a sex drive?
Which they blamed their sex drive for overwhelming them. And so in order to release their hysteria, he invented something called the vibrator.
Which you would go into his office, right?
Right. It was a procedure.
Really?
It was a procedure.
That he had to do in person?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a brilliant guy.
You would lay back and lift your petticoat, and then he would apply his invention. And you'd be relieved of your hysteria. You'd leave the office more relaxed, more calm.
He was the most popular doctor ever.
With a sense of the glow and a sense of happiness about you. He would relieve you of your hysteria.
It's like getting a vibrators. B12 shot.
That's where the word hysterical comes from. It's a medical term from when you're hysterical, you're overwhelmed with, the Latin derivation for female problems, like hysterectomy and that kind of thing.
Sell us.
I learned something today.
Maggie Gyllenhaal stars in the film along with Hugh Dancy, Jonathan Pryce, and Felicity Jones. You can check that out in limited release this weekend. I'm going to go over and over and over
again. Is it
again.
A comedy?
I believe it is a comedy, Lisa, okay. Yes. What else opens today? What to expect when you're expecting.
Yeah!
This is a popular book that is a how-to guide for pregnant women. What to expect when you're expecting. It is a non-fiction book.
It's just like advice. Right.
Advice book. Yeah. It was so popular. It is very popular. I mean, almost every pregnant woman gets a copy at their showers or whatever because it's very helpful in literally preparing you for the arrival of your child. So it's so successful that some movie company said, let's make a hilarious romantic comedy based on this book.
This is weird, Ralph, because this is just like the Steve Harvey advice book, dating book, being turned into a movie. You don't even need a plot or characters anymore.
No, you just need a title.
Who's in it?
Cameron Diaz.
I'm out.
Jennifer Lopez.
I'm in.
Chris Banks.
Don't know.
Not Chris Banks. Chris Rock.
I'm in.
Elizabeth Banks.
In.
Chris Rock, by the way, Kevin, not a great movie.
I like him. He's funny.
Yeah. His stand-up is great, but not a great resume when it comes to his film choices.
Yeah, that's true.
And why don't you wait until I play you the scene before you decide whether you're going or not, okay?
All right.
Because here's the thing about what you're expecting. You're expecting men and women are totally different, guys.
What?
And women sometimes, when you get married, man, the women call the shots. They change everything. Like this young married man's about to find out from his older pals who've been married for a while.
Ask him when the last time was he drove it. Plus, you can't even get a car seat in that thing.
Patel's wife wants him to trade in his 69 Camaro. Oh. We have bets on how long he can last.
Patel test drove a minivan last week anyway.
What?
So? That doesn't mean anything.
I look at houses with Holly, but we're not buying one.
bro. When your wife says you're just test driving minivans, you're buying a minivan. And when she says you're just looking at houses, you're buying a house.
Welcome to escrow, bitch.
I'm out.
Welcome to escrow, bitch.
God, I'm out, too.
Come on.
But, guys, you don't get it.
We get it.
Wives, they run the show. They make you buy things, and you don't even see it coming,
it's
man.
It's a unique premise. I mean, I've never heard it before.
And when
else.
You get a baby, you can't drive your sports car anymore. You have to get a minivan.
Right.
That's this kind of fresh comic insight that this film offers you this weekend. Minivan. See, who would? No. That's a great. How come no one ever did a joke about having to buy a minivan before that's when you have question. A family?
Seems like it's good fertile ground.
These genius.
Yes.
Genius.
No.
F this movie and everyone involved in it.
I'm with you.
Right in the ear with an ice pick. And lastly, I got not lastly, Dictator. I get to Dictator still.
Yes.
Dictator.
Oh, yeah. Two good ones.
Two good ones this weekend. Larry Charles directs Sacha Baron Cohen as the Dictator, a dictator who risks his life to ensure that democracy will never come to his country. He's a hero to his people. Here's a scene where the dictator is showing off his racism by demonstrating his knowledge of the Chinese language.
I'm not Chinese. I'm Chinese American. No, but you cannot hold your eyes. Nobody's going to think you're Chinese American because you hold your eyes like that.
It's racist what you're doing.
Do you know, it's a fact. They cannot pronounce the R's. They pronounce them as L's. So instead, you know what rabbit is in Chinese?
I don't know how to speak Chinese.
It's labbit.
It's not labbit.
Yes, who shot Roger Labbit was a huge hit in
China. Nobody. I don't care. This is stupid, okay?
Okay, I'll do Bilibino. I like to work. I like to talk. I like I do the kids.
Your Bilibino is the same as your Chinese.
Now who's being a racist?
Now who's being a racist? Sacha Baron Cohen is just the man.
I love
him. He's the
best. He is fearless when it comes to the comedy. I can't wait to check this out this weekend. And Battleship opens this weekend. The aliens are here, man, and they're attacking us in the water. So the Navy has to come along and protect us because they're dangerous aliens with pods attacking our ships.
They are.
Thanks. Here is Battleship this weekend. Peter Berg directs, Taylor Kitsch, Brooklyn Decker, Liam Neeson, and Rihanna all star in the film. And tell you something, Rihanna, she's one of the Navy people. And they capture an alien.
Right.
And Rihanna is not surprised because her father believed in extraterrestrials, man. And he always said the aliens were coming.
My dad said they come. Said it my whole life. He said one day we'd find them. Or they'd find us. You know what else he said? He said, hope I ain't around when that day comes.
Alien's not dead. He's come back to life.
She didn't really sell that movie as much as I hoped.
Wow, you better hope there's not much dialogue in this if you're going to it. You better hope it's a lot of explosions and very few monologues from Rihanna.
You know I'm going to it.
I know you are. Yeah. I'm just saying, for your sake.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope the Rihanna monologues are kept to a minimum.
I'm with you.
Because that sounds like the scariest part of the whole movie right there, is Rihanna doing a monologue about her father's belief in aliens.
They subtitle her, though, right, so we can understand what she's saying, I hope.
Man.
When Mr. Movie Phone was in earlier in the week, Ralph, he said... He said that Battleship is for 7th graders everywhere and Kevin.
There you go.
How dare you.
That's all you need to know.
So that's your choice this weekend. Me, personally, I'm going to take my wife to Hysteria and bring some batteries. Or The Dictator. The Dictator or Hysteria.
See?
You get your choices this weekend. Not to expect what you're expecting. Never. 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 I'm saying never. I'm never going to that.
Right.
Unless my wife tells her to, because they call the shots about minivans and cars and what movies we go
no
to.
Way. Not ever.
Am I right, fellas? Welcome to escrow, bitches. I'm Ralph Garman. I walked
What do you suppose ever happened to that piece of crap van on the cover of the El Camino album? Where do you think that's at now?
No, giving that away.
In a landfill in Las Vegas or something?
Nope, giving that away. We're giving that away. You can listen all week to score tickets for the Black Keys. They play Staples Center October 5th, and they play Honda Center October 8th, and you also could get a Black Key that starts the van that seems to have seen some miles.
Yes, it definitely has. There's no way that that's roadworthy, but you can win it for the world-famous K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Justin Bieber back in the news. I don't know. What do you think? Is he going to be one of those teen stars, Kevin, who makes the transition and turns into a Justin Timberlake?
Nope.
Or is he going to be one of those teen stars who ends up on a VH1 special like Leif Garrett or Vanilla Ice?
I hope that happens so soon. But, you know, the odds are against him anyway. I mean, very few turn into Justin Timberlake, even if they're not as hateable as he is.
Yeah, you're right. There aren't very many that end up being Michael Jackson or somebody like that. You're right. But Justin Bieber is doing everything he can, and he is 18 years old now. Got a new album coming out in a couple of weeks, and he recently did a sit-down interview with GQ. And we want to talk about some of the highlights in that article with the Biebs himself, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Justin.
What's with all the questions, bro?
We haven't even asked any yet.
I just said hello. That's it.
That's like a question, right, though?
No.
Hello?
No, not really.
Hello?
I guess it does ask for a response,
okay,
right. I guess.
So why,
yeah.
Why all the questions, bro? What's up with
my favorite part, I'm just reading your GQ interview.
Yeah, GQ, Gangsta Quarterly, yo.
That's not what that stands
for. Yeah, that's what it stands for.
No.
The hottest hip-hop publication on the
stand. It's not a hip-hop
publication.
It's a
Gentleman's Quarterly is what it is, and it's a fashion magazine.
Nice delivery.
My favorite part, besides the fact that they talk about how you're 18 but look 12, you're a tiny, tiny little man, is the writer who interviewed you says that your voice is so high it sounds like a ringtone.
I didn't read that part.
That part was funny.
That's not nice, yo.
What about you staying? You tell her that you stay her or him that you stay away from alcohol. You do not drink.
That's right, yo. I don't drink. I don't like to be out of control, yo.
Why do you keep saying yo? You're not.
I'm gangster, yo.
You're not a gangster. It's just not true. You're the whitest of white. You don't have anything to do with
the
gangster.
I'm from the mean streets of Canada, okay?
There are no mean streets in Canada.
That's where all the gangsters sling their maple syrup. Yo, what's that all about?
Now, you're a little cagey on this topic about the alcohol, though.
I've had it like a beer before, okay?
You've had like a beer, but you don't like to let it get out of control, so you're concerned about ever drinking too much, so very much in moderation,
right? That's right. Just a little beer once in a while, eh? Now that I'm 18, I drink alcohol. Wait a minute.
Now that you're 18.
Where am I?
Yeah.
It's legal in Canada if you're 18.
In Canada, that's right. Yeah, I can do it there. I never drink in the United States, though.
Ever.
Just heroin
Certainly.
Here.
Oh, I see.
Oh, heroin.
No, that's a joke, eh?
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Did you have a bad experience overindulging one time and that kind of put you off drinking, or what happened?
Yeah, one time I was in Canada, eh, and I had, like, some Labatt's Blue.
Right.
I had, like, four of them, and I woke up with a moose.
You woke up with a moose?
Yeah.
That seems bad.
Not like a fat chick either. Right. Like a literal, like an
a real moose. I see.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you'd think I was drinking moose head, but I wasn't. I was drinking Labatt's.
Right. Is that a joke, too?
The moose head came later.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in the article, you talk about being a celebrity has made you better understand other celebrities, and you try to defend Kim Kardashian, but not very well. Are
That's
you friendly
right, eh?
With Kim or what?
Yeah, she's my pal, eh? We hang out all the time, and everyone's so mean to her. They say she doesn't do anything, but she does lots of stuff, okay? She works hard.
Yeah, that's your defense, is that she does stuff.
She does do stuff.
But you didn't clarify any of it. You just say she does stuff.
And by stuff, I mean black guys.
Oh, well, that is true, actually.
Yeah, she's busy with a lot of black guys.
That didn't come through in the interview. It just
stuff,
said,
black guys, stuff. It's all the same.
Not to most people.
But you can't trust anybody in this business. That's why I try to be good to my friends.
Right.
Because you can't trust anyone. It's hard to be. I'm lonely. It's hard to be me.
You're lonely.
Can't trust anyone.
How have you already learned that lesson?
What is that supposed to mean?
You're only 18.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
I don't trust you.
Well, I don't want you to
Who's
trust
me. Who's that? Who's that behind me? Oh, nobody.
Okay, take it easy.
Hey, who are you? Who are you?
It's Kevin and B. We call.
It's
call.
Omar. Oh, it's Omar.
Oh. Okay. What?
You have a, guy you have a friend named Omar?
Yeah, his name's Canadian Omar.
Do not trust him.
I know, right?
Right.
I think he's the one who put me in bed with the moose.
That's probably KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
That doesn't look good over there, that conversation.
Oh, we're having a great conversation.
No, there's a lot of pointing to pieces of equipment and frowning and scowling and shouting back and forth.
That's all off the air unless you bring it on to
Well,
the air.
I like to pull back the curtain for the listeners and show them that there's craziness going on.
Yeah, high five. Muggs and I are having a good time.
Yeah. Won't it be on the air and extremely evident the first time you're supposed to hit a sound, though?
Yeah, what's up? It goes bad.
Of course.
See, this way, listeners know what to expect versus us having to explain it after it happens.
That's a good point. All right.
Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes for the K-Rock advanced screening of Men in Black 3?
Yay! Can't wait.
It's going to be happening at the Pacific Culver on Wednesday, May the 23rd. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday the 25th. But if you'd like to see it before anybody else, and why wouldn't you? I've got two pairs of passes right now at 1-800-520-1067. This movie looks awesome. Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith return as agents J and K. And Josh Brolin plays a young Tommy Lee Jones when Will Smith goes back in time to the 60s. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords is in the film. Emma Thompson, great cast. You know, one of my favorite things of both Men in the Black films was when they show you the aliens they're kind of keeping tabs on, and they go into the headquarters and you see like all the celebrities that are actually aliens. Remember Michael Jackson was one.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they said there's some good cameos in this, so I'm looking forward to seeing who they...
Michael Jackson?
Who they tell. I don't think Michael's in this one. I think he's reprising his role.
All right.
I bet Gaga is, though. She looks like an alien.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she was from another planet. Everybody going to buy their Facebook stock today?
Well, oh, yeah, sure.
No.
Goes public today, their public stock offering on the New York Stock Exchange this morning. Bono is happy to see this happening. See, Bono was an early investor in Facebook. Back in 2009, he bought 2.3% of Facebook for $90 million.
That's a huge gamble. I mean, that was all 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That's a huge gamble at that time.
$90 million.
Well, at least it paid off. What, did he get another 90 back?
Well, they say today that the company is valued at more than $100 billion. So his 2.3% will net him $1.5 billion when the stock goes public this morning.
A billion and a half.
He's earning a billion and a half in a day.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to sing a note. He doesn't have to perform in front of a crowd. He just has to sit there, and a check for $1.5 billion will come.
Why did I hold on to my $90 million?
You see?
Should have let loose.
You kept it under your mattress when you should have been investing in Facebook.
Stupid.
What do you think is likely to happen? We were discussing this briefly yesterday, Ralph, when you were out. But what do you think is likely to happen with Facebook? Will this be a good investment for people, or is this going to go the way of MySpace in 5 years from now? We'll be embarrassed that we were all so excited about this IPO.
I know very little about the world of finances. I'm not a smart guy when it comes to stocks and
Me
things
too,
like
but
that.
When it comes but to the internet, it changes quickly.
From sure what does. I've heard, this is not a great idea for an investment. This is not something a lot of people feel comfortable with that they will be getting a return on.
And a lot of these shares are coming from the people who originated Facebook, created it. So they're dumping their shares.
So they're basically selling at the top.
Yeah, I just saw another 25% or something came free or something yesterday before they did the final offering. So everyone seems to be cashing in on this opportunity for them to make their money from the initial offering. What the profit dividends will be down the road, I just wonder.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like, Apple or something.
They don't make anything. They just advertise.
It's not like, right.
Right. And, I think there's a finite amount of how much you can advertise on something in order to make your money.
Hmm.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. excuse me, I almost died. In TV news, Unforgettable, the Poppy Montgomery series that was canceled by CBS, may be getting a second life. TNT and Lifetime apparently are having conversations with the production company about bringing that show back to the air. Did anybody watch that show? I like her a lot. I like Poppy Montgomery, but I did not watch that show.
I didn't watch it either, but I like the trend of these other channels picking them up.
I watched it, but don't remember it.
Really?
It's called Unforgettable. Come on, Kevin, keep up.
File. Yeah. Oh, I kept up.
Kevin had a file this morning, and nobody called him on, by the way.
I did?
Yeah.
Finger food?
That's what they call it, finger food. Yeah. How come that didn't end up in the file?
No.
About the guy who found the finger in his chili. That's why they call it finger food, people.
Was that not genius?
I would say it was less than genius.
I was patting myself on the back after that one.
Well, maybe we'll have to take a look at it in the file and see if you still want to pat yourself on
the back.
I'll
take it back now.
No, you have to wait.
Okay.
50 Shades of Grey, of course, the smash hit bestseller. It was originally purchased for several million dollars. I think $10 million, the movie rights. They're already talking about casting. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the book, it's about a successful businessman who starts a relationship with a young college girl, and he's into all kinds of BDSM and bondage and discipline games and that kind of stuff. That's the sexy content of 50 Shades of Grey. Here's the casting. Us Weekly magazine says who has the inside track. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart.
Oh, no, come on.
How do you like that now?
Seriously?
You are joking.
Nope.
That's a joke.
Nope.
Neither of them are good enough actors to be able to feign passion on the screen.
Kristen Stewart says she's dying to make another movie with her boyfriend and thinks they make a very good team and they think it would be great in this product.
And they just figure all the toy tards will
apply. Absolutely, Lisa. There's a built-in audience. You see our Pat and Chris K. Stu back together again on the big screen.
Wow. Wow. You couldn't cast that worse.
I was already not interested, and now I'm aggressively disinterested.
I forget what Twilight was about.
I'm a vampire, and I'm in love with this unattractive girl. I'm a werewolf, and I am also in love with this unattractive girl. Boy, she sure can act, though, can't she?
Nope.
The end.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Johnson turns 37 years old today. Wonder how Jack's going to celebrate. Probably lay in a hammock.
In a hammock and surf.
Have some banana pancakes
surf
for breakfast.
No, he's going to surf.
After he gets out of the hammock, he's back in the hammock?
Yeah.
Tina Fey, 42 years old today. Martika, we got to get some toy soldiers.
We don't have to.
We have to get some toy soldiers.
I'd say we don't have to.
Once a year, we have to hear a little step by step.
That's enough.
I feel like we just heard it.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. We'll get a clip if you'll stop that.
Paige Hamilton of Helmet is 52 years old today. Chow Yun-fat from The Replacement Killers, Anna and the King, so many great films, 57 years old today. And Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo fame turned 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If you are the luckiest little Linkin Park fan in the world, you're going to be at the House Blues Sunset tonight to see the band. But that is way sold out. But tickets are still available to see them with Incubus. That's on the Honda Civic Tour, and that's happening September 9th at the Home Depot Center. If you want to check them out, Linkin Park, a great live band. 7:06 here on the Kevin Bean Show for Friday. How about the Afro line on the air at 323-520-AFRO? Our voicemail, you leave us a message, we play it back on the radio.
You know, we get a lot of podcast listeners, which are fantastic. I mean, it really is amazing that any of you would go download the podcast and then listen to it at a later time.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I know that.
We really
hear the show. I can't believe it either.
But we started, once we started doing the podcast, which you can get at the website, krock.com, we also started getting a flow of feedback that came a little bit later than usual. Like maybe a week later, we would hear from people who heard the topic of Bean's quote of "Nobody likes ugly numbers." We got a lot of response to that.
Yeah.
And by that, he says, you know, even numbers blow. He's got all even numbers in his phone number, which he's very excited about. Mm-hmm. He can't stop the gasoline pump at $31.05. He's got to go to like 25 or 50 or go to a whole dollar. And a lot of people called up and agreed with him. And I felt like I was living in an alternate universe because it didn't make any sense. But then my people called the Afro line.
I am not joking about this. I have never been more attracted to Bean in my life. I want to start a new segment called Bean Talks About Numbers. Oh, God. Damn, that was good. The volume control, I had never even thought of that. That's brilliant. I'm going to start doing it right now. Oh, Bean.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Volume control has to be on an even number. You do not turn it up to 17. You turn it to 16 or 18.
That's insane.
Hey, Bean. Guess how much I paid at the gas pump today? You want to know? The answer is, I don't even effing remember. Get a life, you useless tool. Next time you're at the pump, take the nozzle and stick it up your
Hey, Lisa May. Speaking of
I'm not sure that's a way to hit on Lisa.
Dude, Lisa May, I feel so dirty. I just pumped the gas in my truck, and then the pump stopped like at $62.37. Dude, I just hung it back up on the rack, and I went into the store and bought a beer for $3.11. Well, actually, I got two beers. Oh, man, this is a rebel. I'm a rebel.
That's icky. That's a horror story to me to hear that told.
You need more?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm not the only one. There are other people who set their TV and their radio to either a volume that ends in 0 or 5. Thank God. I was about to kill myself, but then I was listening to the Kevin and Bean show, and they saved me. Oh, thank God my friend put it on a station that ended on 7 instead of 0 or 5.
They would never listen to us if they lived by that rule.
That's true.
For all the OCD people who have to round all their purchases up to the nearest dollar or wake up at 6:30, not 6:37, aren't you all retarded? Especially you, Bean. Especially you.
Just because she doesn't know how to live her life right doesn't mean you have to come down on the rest of us who are doing it.
More?
No.
You want more?
You've established that there are people who don't live by the code.
You know, I thought Bean said something funny once. But then it just turned out to be gas.
Her own sound effect. Sweet.
Wow.
That's very nice. Bean, give me a little I'm the best. You have I'm the best ready?
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
My favorite rapper. Big time internet video. Yeah.
Thank you. And this is our final call for the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO.
One of the best writers on television joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Worked all those seasons on The Shield, then created and writes Sons of Anarchy. Now he's got a new reality show called Outlaw Empire. We'll talk to Kurt Sutter. That's coming up in minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, are you trying to figure out what to do for your kid's birthday party?
You need Dominic DeVille, who rents himself out as an evil birthday clown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
People have such a reaction to clowns, don't they? So many of them.
Oh, yeah.
But he dresses evil and leaves little notes for them that tells them they'd better be careful because he's going to, you know, surprise them, and he warns them they might be watched or attacked.
Oh, my God.
Seems
really?
Like it might be the worst.
Why would you do that to your kid?
It seems like it might be the worst idea ever.
And what is the deal with why do so many is it true that so many people are afraid of clowns, or just something that people say?
No,
because
no,
they think other people are.
No, I think it's true of a lot of people. Maybe
really?
That's a phone-in topic for another day. Because I think it's because of the painted-on smile, there must be some evil underneath it. I think that's what. Who knows?
I mean, I guess they certainly have made horror movies where the clown is the bad
guy.
So maybe that's kind of added.
Your wife is, right?
Mine is?
Yeah.
Afraid of clowns?
I don't
remember.
Was.
Maybe. You probably know her better than I do.
Lisa remembers and you don't.
Oh, my God.
Dominic DeVille is his name. You pay him, he'll be an evil birthday clown and stalk your kid for a week. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Dominic.
Hello. How are you?
We're good.
This is you as a clown?
Yes, I'm Dominic DeVille, the birthday clown.
I thought clowns are supposed to... Oh, there you go. At least you got a horn.
Yeah,
at least
I got a that. Horn. Right here. I got a horn.
But are you renting yourself out for kids' birthday parties?
That's right, for your little kiddies.
Tell us some of the services you provide as the evil clown.
I will stalk your child for a week.
For a week?
Yes. I'll let them know that I'm watching at all times.
Okay.
And soon they'll be attacked. And then I smash them in the face with birthday cake.
But what parent would do that to their kid?
A bad one.
Yes, a bad one is the answer. It's the only answer.
No, kids love to be scared.
They do?
Yeah.
But nobody likes to be stalked by an evil clown.
I usually slowly stalk them in my panel van.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. Slowly, every day of the week, I just drive slowly behind them as they're walking to school.
Well, that seems like that could
be... And when they least expect it, I grab them and pull them into the van.
That's got to be against the law somehow.
And then... Yeah.
Wait, and what does that mean? What happens then?
Just a little.
What? Yeah, but
right in the.
But what does that mean?
I pull out my.
Okay, listen.
I give him my.
This doesn't.
I don't like the direction this is going.
This doesn't sound good.
And then happy birthday.
But aren't you just setting the kids up for a lifetime of panic attacks and nightmares?
Not me. The parents, they hire me. I'm just doing my job.
Oh, I see.
I'm Dominic DeVille, the birthday clown.
Wow. How much do you cost?
It depends on what you want done.
Well...
How well insured is your child?
For the services that you just, recapped, tell us what that would cost us.
Just to smash him in the face with some pie?
Well, I don't know. You did the panel van with the horn. I'm just curious.
I stalk him for a week and I smash him in the face with birthday cake.
Okay, what does that cost to me?
That's about $500.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to really hate your kids to want to pay that much to make their lives miserable.
I charge you less if I can put something else in their face.
What?
Oh, Dominic, wow.
Dominic, what's
like
wrong?
A balloon or something.
Oh, well, God.
What the hell are you thinking?
Well, how are we supposed to know? You're
what the hell are you thinking?
It's not us. How many parties have you done?
Well, so far, no one has hired me.
Well, good luck with that.
A lot of shows still to come here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us. We've got an update on the pole dancing championship happening and penis injuries. That's very impressive for our guest to be listening to us to promote penis injuries coming up after his interview. But we are very excited to welcome Kurt Sutter to the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, from Sons of Anarchy and the new Outlaw Empire on Discovery Monday nights at 10. Kurt, how are you, dude?
I'm good, man. All I heard was penis injury.
Yes. I'm afraid so.
That's all you needed to hear, my friend.
We're talking to a guy in about 20 minutes who had to go to the emergency room because he put a magnet on either side of his penis and then couldn't remove them because they were stuck to each other.
Yeah, that's a guy with just way too much time on his hands.
Yes, it is. But he got his just deserves because when he showed up at the ER, he had to yell through that pane glass what was wrong with him. And that's not good.
Listen, put the magnets away, dude, and get yourself some internet porn like the rest of us, okay?
Exactly.
All right, Kurt, let's talk about what you're up to. You're dipping your toe into reality, into documentary-style television this time around with Outlaw Empire, and it sounds like a fantastic thing. I feel like we see a lot of depictions of gangs on television, but very rarely do we see the real guys. Is that kind of the void you saw you wanted to fill?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously... coming off of what I've been doing in series TV, the idea of doing a documentary series that's sort of from the outlaw's point of view, where rather than it just sort of being a gangland perspective or historian perspective or law enforcement perspective, it's really getting inside and talking to these guys and trying to understand, you know, who they are. What attracted them to the life, you know, what happened, how did they get involved, and just sort of giving people an inside look at that. We're sort of drawn, I think, to the bad guys as viewers, and I just thought it'd be interesting to explore, you know, kind of emotionally what pulls people to make those kind of choices.
Now, you already did the Crips. You got American Bikers. You have South Boston Irish Mob. You have Italian Mafia. Was any one of them harder to line up people to do the show than any others?
You know, it's really about looking for us. It was, or you know, it was trying to find, writing fiction, was like trying to find like who has the best story, you know,
right.
Who's the most interesting character.
But it wasn't hard to line Aryan Brotherhood. It wasn't hard because no one would talk to you.
Well, you know, it really depended on like the guy, like Kershawn that we had for the Crips is, you know, a retired member and but he's still very active, you know, in the world. And and then obviously there's some organizations where we couldn't talk to active members. So we talked to people who were no longer in the life, and like the biker one on Monday night, you know, we talked to members who are no longer in, but some of them left, you know, because they had to leave, and some of them left in bad standing, and then some of them left in good standing. So
right.
it's sort of I tried to get different point of views, so it just doesn't look like, you know, we had to get out. They're really fascinating. For the Irish Mafia, we talked to Kevin Weeks, who was, you know, like one of Whitey Bulger's lieutenants, man.
Right.
And, it's just wild, sort of these inside stories, and really just sort of understanding it emotionally or from, like, you know, one guy's perspective. And look, some of them were harder to be more objective than some of the other ones, you know.
Like what?
Well, like the Aryan Brotherhood, man. You know, we got inside and talked to these guys who were a couple were former members, one guy's still inside, but
I hope you took an all-black film crew with you when you went to shoot that one.
Well, it's hard, it's difficult to, you know, the walking that line with this project is like, you know, I want to be impartial and be real without it becoming too sympathetic, because I don't want to create recruitment videos,
right?
Know?
Of course.
And then I don't want it to sway all the way to the other side where it feels judgmental. But with the Aryan Brotherhood, you know, when you got dudes covered with swastikas, it's like, how do you kind of get inside that and say, hey, put down the judgment and take a look at these guys? You know,
I don't think I could is the answer to that.
Yeah, you know, it was a trickier dance on that one, you know. And but again, I think the guys that we got to talk to, the stories are fascinating. So I'm hoping people can kind of plug into the individuals and kind of at least try to understand the draw, because all of these things, you know, nobody got into these lives because they said, hey, I want to be uber violent and get in trouble. You know, they all sort of came out of this need for either, you know, brotherhood or protection or family. You know, they all sort of started out of these basic primal
right.
instincts. And then,
yeah,
you know.
That's interesting. This is the voice of Kurt Sutter here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his Outlaw Empire show on the Discovery Channel Monday nights at 10. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you saw, even as varied as your groups that you profile, from the Aryan Brotherhood to
right.
the, you know, Nuestra Familia, as varied as they are there a lot of similarities in what draws to them? Is it just is it that they grew up without a strong family in many cases, or they're looking for a connection with other people on another level, or what?
Well, that was that was like, I mean, that was the education for me, because, I mean, I had the awareness that these, you know, the draw was other than, you know, I just want to be a gangbanger. But, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they came from solid families, you know. But, you know, like Krishan, like growing up, you know, I mean, Krishan literally grew up on the same street as Tookie Williams, right? So, you know, the presence of the Crips was so that was there. And, you know, they're living in this racially charged climate where poverty is off the charts. They have this oppressive LAPD police force.
Right.
And you know, it just became this perfect storm for these kids where it really, to a certain extent, became, you know, the most logical option. And, you know, like Nuestra Familia in the prison gang, you know, they were these Mexican guys who were a lot of them were migrant workers, and they were thrown into the prison system. And, you know, when you're inside, you race up, man. You're the black, white, brown.
Because you have to, or you die.
Or you die. So these were these guys who came in, and then there was, you know, there was the Mexican mafia that was already inside these prisons who like, wouldn't accept these guys because they considered them ignorant farmers, you know. So they were sort of forced to say, well, you know, we're getting killed here. And that prison gang really grew out of this need to, how do we protect ourselves? How do we stay alive? And that's really, you know, the core of it is always this, these basic primal instincts.
Is that the same with the Italian mafia?
Well, you know,
because it seems like they're not exactly in the same situation where you don't have to join that.
No, I mean, the mob is such a, I mean, the history of the mob itself is just such amazing, you know, going back to Sicily. And but again, you know, if you go back to the roots of Cosa Nostra, it's you know, it sort of came out of the same thing. There was this sense of being oppressed by, you know, the Italian government and these communities and these villages being unprotected. So even that, if you strip it down to, you know, the basic roots, grew out of that thing. And but, you know, we do the Gambino family, and we have you know, a couple guys that were members of that family. And but yeah, the interesting thing about the mob is that we have such a familiarity with the mob.
Yeah, there's been 100 different shows on the Italian mafia,
yeah,
and movies and everything.
Right.
Else.
You know, so what we tried to do is you know, it was something we couldn't ignore because everyone, there's the association of that, you know. But I think what we tried to do is really get inside and talk to a couple of guys who, you know, one guy was a maid guy who, you know, really had everything at his fingertips and made the decision to walk away. And the other guy was a guy that just felt like he kept getting passed over. He kept getting passed over. He kept getting passed over. But, you know, it's literally listening as these guys are telling stories. You're like, well, I mean, I saw that scene in Goodfellas.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's his life, you know?
Well, it's a great premise for a show, Kurt. And it sounds like, you know, with your background and your interest in this topic, you're the right guy to do it, too. Outlaw Empire is the show Monday nights at 10 on Discovery. The Crips episode is in, they're rerunning that, or you can see it on demand still, and then catch up live with the American Bikers episode airing this Monday. Kurt, it's great to have you on, man. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again maybe when Suns comes back.
That'd be awesome. I really appreciate you guys. Let me,
thanks for the time.
All right, guys.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around.
Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What is happening?
Men in Black 3 is happening. Why the men got to be black? I don't know. Some racial thing. But all I know is it's at the Pacific Culver Wednesday, May the 23rd, at a special K-Rock advance screening.
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
That's right. Return of Men in Black.
I think that's just a reference to their clothes, Ralph.
Oh, what the?
Yeah, I think.
Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones reprise their roles as Jay and Kay. Josh Brolin as a young Tommy Lee Jones. Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Concord's Emma Thompson, also in the film. Yeah, meninblack.com is the website if you want to check out some trailers and things to take a look at. Or if you'd rather see the film, how about going to the advanced screening on the 23rd at Pacific Culver? If you don't win, don't feel badly, because the movie's in every theater, every place.
Friday, May the 25th. You can check it out. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First three callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our very special advanced screening. Sad news yesterday. Donna Summer, musical icon. They called her the Queen of Disco, but she was more than just that because she had some pop hits as well. Just a long list of smash hits throughout the late 70s and early 80s. Interestingly enough, she was the only artist ever to have three consecutive double LPs go to number one.
Huh.
First of all, double LPs in a row is crazy to begin with.
That is crazy.
But Livin' More, Bad Girls, and On the Radio were all double LPs that went to number one on the Billboard charts. She was the first female artist ever to nail four number one singles in a year. So a tremendous career. I had Omar put together a little montage of some of her hits. You may recognize some of Donna Summer's music. Why are you laughing?
Well, Omar constantly has to mix stuff that doesn't easily flow into another one. And that one easily flowed. Every song had the exact same
beat.
Yeah,
you could make a mega mix and just have people dancing forever out there, couldn't you? Yeah. She passed away at the age of 63 after a long battle with cancer. So, sad news. And there's Beans.
That's Bean sensitive.
Touching tribute. I think Omar's was a little better, but what do I know? Alec Baldwin says he's ready to retire. 30 Rock has one more season left in it. It's coming back to NBC for one more year. After that, he's done.
Isn't it being canceled after a year as well? Or aren't they quitting?
They're stopping production.
They're stopping.
Next season. Next season is the final season.
After, yeah. Okay.
Yes. And he said...
He said he's done with acting?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's done. Huh. Couple is planning a wedding in New York City. He and his fiance, Hilaria Thomas. And he says, jokingly to Us Weekly Magazine, he's going to let her support him when he's done. So I don't think she's making 30 Rock money.
No.
As a yoga instructor.
No.
But,
do you think he will eventually get into politics as Really?
I do.
I wonder how that would go.
He
seems like he's got quite a temper to go into politics.
Yeah. Look, I think it'd be refreshing to have somebody with some human emotions on display out there, but what do I know? Sequels abound. Blade Runner. Sequel for Blade Runner in the works, according to Ridley Scott, the director of that classic science fiction film.
You do have to cash in while the heat is there.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. I mean, everybody's still talking about Blade
Runner. That's
right. Yeah. I think that came out like 30 years ago. And also a lot of buzz with the sequel to Sin City, a movie which I enjoyed enormously.
That was great.
Mickey Rourke and Jessica Alba starred in that film, and they've both signed on to return to Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which starts production this summer. It'll be in theaters next year, and 50 Shades of Grey, the super popular best-selling book, is going into pre-production for the film version. Casting already talked about who will play Christian Grey, the high-end businessman who has a taste for S&M when it comes to sex, and the college student, Anastasia Steele. That's her name, by the way. This book is just 400 pages of cheese.
Anastasia Steele.
I'm Christian Grey and my girlfriend Anastasia Steele. We like to engage in risky sexual behavior.
It's like the Barbara Cartland romance novels. Yeah, she wrote like 100 of them, except they actually have the sex in it.
Yeah. So here's the casting, according to Us Weekly Magazine. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. Come on. Come on, Anderson Cooper. That's a great, great pairing. America wants to see them in another movie. They're great actors.
They are.
Anderson,
they're great actors.
They're great actors. It'll be a great film. Come on. Our Pats, Keistu. Anderson. Don't you think? They'd be good together.
I have a question for you, Lisa. Part
yes.
of the reason this 50 Grades of Shea is such a phenomenon is that women love their porn in written form.
Phenomena, yes.
Will they go see it if it's explicitly performed on film in a movie, though?
Not by those two.
It's not going to be X-rated, so it won't be like seeing a porn.
They can't do everything that's in the book.
Right.
Right. There's so much sex in the book, though. If you're going to do a movie that's anywhere near faithful to the book, it has to be pretty sus.
It might be
saucy.
One of those that they go with their girlfriends.
All right.
It could be pretty successful. I mean,
not just for lesbians? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Not if those
two
are
to go with their girlfriends?
They're not going to take their husbands,
oh,
I would imagine.
Their female friends.
Yeah. Their female friends.
Just a pack of D batteries and their female friends. And some
I don't know. I'm not really
coolers.
Interested. But
you're not wrong. You just maybe less than right.
Yeah, maybe. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Johnson is 37 years old. Tina Fey, 42. Well, we're talking about 30 Rock. Paige Hamilton of Helmet is 52. Actor Chow Yun-fat is 57 years old. Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo is 62. And Martika, finally, we get a little Martika going on in this house. Yeah. That's right. Then what? We all fall down, man.
Did she make that story
like
up?
Like toy soldiers. Yeah. Martika celebrates her 43rd birthday today.
What?
I said Martika's 43.
What?
She's... Oh, never mind. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Why, yes, I'd love to play you a highlight from last night's Kings game.
Lead pass here. Kopitar behind everybody to the backhand.
Or 2 games ago.
You are not alone in following the Kings at this point. They are starting to be a little bit of a thing in this town, aren't they?
Dude, they're 11-1 in the playoffs against
the
best
team. That's insane.
They win Sunday. Yeah. They're in the finals.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
In any sport, to see that kind of a domination in the postseason is incredible. And as you were describing earlier, this is the team that you thought you had that never showed up until the end of the season.
It was a frustrating season because they should have been this good the whole season long, but now they finally peaked at the right time.
Very impressive. Sad for Dave and his Clippers last night. And, of course, the Lakers are also in an 0-2 hole, too. So apparently the Kings playoffs are the only ones that are going well for fans right now. Hey, we did a story yesterday. I think it was just in an email. We just read an email from somebody who had a friend who worked in the ER who had an unbelievable thing come through the doors, and that was a kid who had magnets stuck to his penis. And I thought, what are the chances that is real or that ever happened? Like, why would you put magnets on your penis? That can't feel good.
So you put
one
on one side, one on the other side, and then they stick together so hard that you can't pull them apart?
If they are powerful enough attraction to each other, yes. Apparently that is the case. And this kid that the lady was writing about ended up in the emergency room. And then Zach, one of the Kevin and Bean listeners, writes in and goes, oh, really? You think that's interesting? Same thing happened to me.
What?
So we asked Zach if he could get on the phone and figure out how something like this even happens. And then we're going to take your calls of funny ways you injured your penis at 1-800-520-1067. Yes, we are on a Marconi Award-winning radio show. Hey, Zach, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
What's up?
No. Oh, Zach, is that perfect? Oh.
Bringing it back.
Yeah, so I was probably about 9 years old and just one of those days at home by yourself. I just got two tiny magnets, put them right under the tip, and sure enough, they got magnetized. And then I'm like, okay, it's time to take them off, and they didn't come off that easy.
I got to tell you, I'm considered the dumb one here. And when I was a kid, I was an idiot, and I never did anything that stupid.
And let me ask you this. Before we find out the mechanics of how the magnets worked and why you had to go to the emergency room and all that, you said in your email that you were a horny little kid, and that's why you tried the magnets. A, you were 9. How horny could you have been at 9? Unless something's going on biologically here that I'm not familiar with at 9. And B, why did you think that would feel good?
See, I don't know. I didn't know about masturbation or anything like that. I just had, you know, an erection. I'm like, what do I do to it? So I'm like, oh,
what do I do to it?
Magnets. Let me put some magnets on it. Now
that's the answer.
Now, once they were stuck and you realized, oh, I'm screwed because the magnets are stuck and I can't remove them. I mean, weren't there 15 things that you tried before you go to the ER?
Well, I tried fingernails, you know, try to scrape them off.
Of course.
I tried trying to just like grip them and slipping them off. You know, like maybe they could roll themselves off.
Right.
That didn't work. So I tried lotion, you know, and maybe get it under there.
Right.
Some soap, some lube just to slide off. Nothing happened.
So you tried everything and then you ended up in the emergency room.
Now, are you home alone at this point or are you just hiding in the bathroom and your mom is wondering where you are?
I was home alone at the time. So I called my mom from work. I'm like, Mom, you got to come home. I need some help. And I guess I freaked her out. She got home and I'm like, Mom,
I was standing there naked. My mom, I got some magnets stuck. I don't know how to
That must have blown her mind that that was going on.
And she couldn't get them apart either?
No, she got down and tried to, you know, so she was working on me trying to get them off. And, so she got fishing line and wrapped it around her fingers like dental floss and tried to scrape them off. And
God.
It was just terrible pain. So I'm like, well, I couldn't make the decision. My mom's like, all right, let's go to the hospital. So.
Did you went to the emergency room, and did they ask, did they shout to her through the glass what happened, and she had to say, my son put magnets on his penis?
No, we kind of just kept it like a secret and went to the doctor, and the doctor ended up pulling him apart with pliers, but I was screaming my lungs out.
Oh.
And, when I got out of the, when I walked out of the doctor's room, the nurses were laughing at me.
Oh, my God.
I just, I can't, I still don't get how the magnets can be that stuck.
No, me neither.
Well, Bean, you should try it just as a science experiment.
Maybe I will. I'm fascinated now, Zach.
They're probably about like an eighth inch tall and maybe like an eighth inch wide. They're very small magnets. They came from like a little toy game that I broke apart, and they, I used to put them on my ear like earrings, like, oh, I'm cool, I got, you know, magnet earrings, but.
Right. That's so funny. Zach, is this the type of thing that has been a running joke in your family ever since? Like, does it still get brought up and people laugh at you over it?
Because it should.
Actually, no, it doesn't. Oh. But when I told my mom that I emailed you guys, she started laughing at it. She remembered.
Zach, I have to tell you, you have made us so happy today. This is one of the most entertaining stories I believe I've ever heard on the Kevin and Bean Show. So thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
You're the best.
All right.
We got other calls on the line, but we don't have time right this second. But we'll take your calls next. Funny ways that you hurt your junk. I don't know that you can beat magnets, but you can try. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take those calls when we get today. And you can see the video up at krock.com.
Oh, that's cool.
So go there and watch that.
Free concert video at krock.com. That's a good deal. We were just talking to Kevin and Bean listener Zach, who had a hilarious penis injury when he was yet just a boy. He was 9, got some magnets stuck to his penis, and had to go to the emergency room. So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Daniel first on line 3. And by the way,
that's where I wanted to start, too.
We're getting some great emails, including Bobby, who writes in, I can't give too many details about his story, but it involved him and a girl with braces, so we can say no more about that.
Okay.
And another guy who involved him parking in a car with a girl, and he somehow ended up being
broken.
It became one with the zipper, and I think it's best if we don't say more. But there are a lot of ways you can injure your penis. Daniel, what happened to yours, dude?
Hey guys, hey, it's me.
Hello.
I was on the toilet. Decided to light a match, drop the hot match on the. You know, decided to drop it in the toilet, and it landed on my penis for licking. I now have a permanent burn scar on my penis.
You dropped a lit match on your own junk.
Yeah, so now it's like a permanent birthmark on my penis.
Sweet.
Dude.
That isn't good for you.
Look, I appreciate the courtesy. I'm sure you were dropping the match as a favor to other people in the house, but still, get up off the toilet before you do that, dude.
It was in high school, so you know I must have had some bad Mexican food or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Thank you so much for the call, Daniel. Let's try Jamie. Jamie is a woman, but she's got a story about her brother, which sounds hilarious. Hi, Jamie. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. So this didn't happen to me. It happened to my brother.
Okay.
My dad was coming home from work, and he sees my brother in the pool screaming at him. And my brother's about 15 at the time. My dad goes to the pool. My brother's penis was stuck in the pool vacuum cleaner.
Who hasn't been there? Who hasn't
done that? That isn't good for you.
My dad had to cut the hose off from around my brother's penis. Better yet. They never spoke of it again.
What?
So, like, years later, we were all in, like, the limo coming back from my grandfather's funeral. Everybody's quiet. And my brother's best friend says, hey, Nick, why don't you tell everybody about the time you got your penis stuck in the pool vacuum?
It's an important mood breaker.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he has just penis issues. He used to jerk off with mineral ice. It was really bad.
All right. We can't say that on the radio, but thank you very much for the story.
No problem, Jamie. Thank you.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
Well, you are, in fact. All right. We don't have that much time, but seriously, let's go to Alex. He's on line 2. This is a more conventional way to hurt your penis, but I'm sure it didn't make it hurt any less.
Hey, Alex. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi. What'd you do?
Oh, God. I slammed my junk into a park bench while having sex with a girl.
into a park bench. That does
are
not
you
sound...
Are you legally blind or anything?
Oh, God. I am just stupid. I am stupid.
Well, that... And what did you have to go to the emergency room or anything?
You know, I was at a party, actually. That's why I was in a park bench. It was so painful to the point where, you know, I couldn't hear anything, let alone really see. It was like just a concussion grenade went off.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
I'm sure you can feel like you're going to pass out. I'm sure that is tremendous pain.
Oh, yeah. I'm usually a shy guy, but I was just being way more quiet than usual. And one of my buddies came up to me and was like, hey, man, what's wrong? And I had to whisper to him because it hurts that. He actually, best friend in the world, he took a look at it for me, and he said, dude, you need to go to the hospital right now.
Oh, my God.
They declared penile fracture.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Did they put it in a cast?
You know, they did. They taped it up, and they gauzed it and stuff. It's hard to keep that a secret.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I'd like to remind you, it just happened to Schmidt this season on New Girl. He had to have his penis in a cast for injuring it during sex, remember?
Oh, God, my girlfriend loves that show.
I bet. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much, Alex. Let's try Mitch real quick. He's on line 5. You don't want any kind of animals around your junk. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Uh-oh.
Kevin and Bean, what it do?
No.
What it do?
What animal? Did you do?
What animal?
Okay. So I was out there on a hike, and I see a little bee on the ground. I'm like, haha, like I'm going to pee on the bee, you know. So I started peeing on the bee, and I'm laughing to myself, ah, stupid bee. And next thing you know, I feel a sharp pain right there, like on the left side and on the front.
Yep.
And sure enough, I look down, there's a bee just, stung me.
Look,
stung me.
You asked for it. You demanded that bee take some sort of revenge against you, dude.
Was that the bee taking revenge, or was it the bee's buddy?
It was another bee. It was a bee buddy because then on the way down from the hike, because after that happened, I ran about like a mile, just kind of screaming up the, and then so on the way down, I came back to the scene of the crime, and I go to the other side of the tree that I was peeing on, and lo and behold, there's a big old beehive in
sweet. You're lucky. You're lucky. It was only one.
Yeah, no kidding. Seriously. I don't ever want to stop taking these calls. Thank you, Mitch. Let's do Dan. Dan is on line 1 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In our remaining moments, talking about hilarious penis injuries. Hilarious to us, not so much to you. Right, Dan?
Yes.
Especially at the time. What happened?
I was out in Kentucky doing a training mission with my Army buddies, running through the mud and the bushes. While walking back, I hop in the back of my buddy's truck to stalk my buddies. I look down. I notice, other than having this massive hole in my crotch, I have my junk hanging out. So I reach down to tuck it in. I notice there's like a speck of dirt on the tip of it. Well, I go to wipe it away, and it's not dirt. What happened was a tick had embedded itself inside of my urethra.
I
want to
stop taking these calls right now.
Oh, dear.
A tick.
What's the answer to that issue?
I screamed really loudly.
Right.
All my friends came over to watch, and my buddy, who was a medic, handed me a bottle of a surgical lube and a Gerber knife and told me to dig it out.
Oh,
okay,
no.
I've heard enough.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Nine!
Dude, how much did that hurt?
I'm out. I don't want to know how much that hurt.
It did not hurt that much.
No!
When you put the lube over the tick, you could feel him pushing himself out of my urethra, though.
Okay. All right.
Now you're out. Good.
Okay. Now I think I'm out.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. God bless America.
That's enough. I can't take it.
What's up, K-Rock?
There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. A lot of stuff. You got the Clippers in the playoffs. You got the Lakers in the playoffs. You got the Kings in the playoffs. You got the giant bike race on Sunday. But don't overlook the Pacific Pole Championships.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do not overlook that competition.
Amy Guyon joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Pacific Pole Championships are happening at the Sheraton Gateway Hotel, Los Angeles. Hi, Amy. Welcome back to the show, my dear. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
First of all, thank you for the photos. We put those up at krock.com and kevinandbean.com right now. Our listeners should immediately go to the internet and check you out for a visual so that they know who we're talking to.
Just for research.
Right. Just for research purposes. Now, what goes on at the Pacific Pole Championship? I noticed that there is a distinction. It is not a show so much as a competition, right?
Yeah, it's a competition. There's actually a big like fitness group of people that, you know, do pole dancing, and we've put together a competition for girls that are interested, you know, in getting on stage and having that like performance experience. So, you know, it's a competition, but I think it's better to think about it more as like a performance with feedback. So, you know,
performance
you get
with feedback. Okay.
You get to get on stage, and then, you know, your judges will judge you, and they'll give you comments and let you know what you can improve upon.
Oh, I see.
Okay, but what I don't see in the paperwork here, Amy, is where Kevin and Bean were invited to be judges this year. Who dropped the ball there?
So our judges are actually all members of our community. So we did take volunteer judges, but you had to be either an instructor or a studio owner. So if you're one of those two things, you guys are more than welcome to come.
What if I'm an instructee at various clubs around?
Must be okay. An instructor.
All right, just seeing.
All right, tell us about some of the distinctions in the various types of pole dancing. Because in my mind, honestly, I just care whether it's hot or whether it's not. But apparently you have all sorts of different categories that you look for with the ladies, right?
Correct. We do have four. So we've got our championship category, which is kind of what other fitness competitions for pole dancing are based upon. It's scored upon a range of elements, strength, flexibility, flow, tricks, difficulty, things like that. So that one's our sort of like title event or main event.
That's the best picture Oscar is what that is. You got to do everything well to win that.
Totally, totally. Okay. And then also, you know, within each event, we also have three levels. So you can be a championship like level one, two, or three. And just depending on what level you're at, depends on what kind of moves you're allowed to perform.
Okay. And then what are some of the other events?
Okay. So our other, we got three more. So we've got two artistic events. We have an artistic dramatic and an artistic entertainment, which are both exactly what they sound like. So they're scored much more on flow, on character, on emotion, on telling a story.
Amy, what are you doing?
It's theater on a pole, you guys.
What are you doing with an artistic, dramatic pole dancing event? What's that? Why does that exist?
Guys,
nobody wants to be sad or challenged when they're watching pole dancing.
That's actually our most popular event. We have the most
Bean.
The most ladies that are entering into that one.
Is it nude?
Is it no? Absolutely not. We have very guidelines for coverage.
Okay. What if Kevin runs into the Sheraton Gateway and just makes it rain all day long? What if you can't stop him from throwing dollar bills at the stage? What if that happens?
You know, somebody else coined this term, so this definitely isn't my saying, but it's no tipping, no stripping. So no money.
And no Kevin.
Now, Amy, are you, in addition to being the co-founder of the Pacific Pole Championships, you are also going to be participating this weekend? You're going to be on a pole?
Oh, no. I am. I'm just the organizer this weekend. So I do a lot of these other competitions. I travel around the U.S., and I've done one international one in Sweden. But
is the Swedish one nude?
No, the Swedish one is not nude. It's never nude. I've never, ever taken my clothes off.
Well, that's a mistake right there.
How do you even shower then? That's just weird. All right. So the thing is at the Sheraton Gateway Hotel, which is on Century Boulevard in L.A., and it's open to the public. People can just come down. It's $30, but it goes on all day. I mean, there's 11 hours of competition, right?
Yeah. So you get basically like an all-day access pass. Our website has, you know, when the different events will be. So you can kind of pick and choose, like, what exactly it is that you want to see. But obviously, like, nobody's going to sit there for 12 hours unless you're super diehard. So you're welcome to come in and out of the venue, you know, whenever you want and, you know, kind of hang out, talk to the performers. It's supposed to be much more casual. You know,
gotcha.
it's an event. It's an experience.
What time of the day is the nude event?
Kevin, there's no nude event.
At all during
there's
the entire 12
event.
Hours?
No, it doesn't sound like it. Last question for
Amy,
you, Amy.
Get it together.
What does somebody win if they're crowned the queen of the pole? What's your prize?
Is it the queen of the pole, first of all?
Okay, no queen of the pole. So, you know, we don't have hardcore prizes for this one because this is an amateur competition. So basically all of our sponsors, X-Pole, Bad Kitty, United Pole Artists, they've all donated a prize. And then when you win one of your categories, because remember we have 11 events, so there's 11 winners, you get to basically draw out of a basket, and whenever you pull out, that's the prize that you'll get.
I see. So you're basically on the pole for pride, basically, is what it's for.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not down with that.
You know, it's the first time for most of these people on stage, so you know a lot. They're so excited.
It's their first time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good times. You can find all the details and see pictures of our guest, Amy Guyon, at krock.com or kevinb.com. Have fun this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I have a question for you, Lisa. Part of the reason this 50 Grades of Shea is such a phenomenon is that women love their porn.
That was a moment with Bean.
50 Grades of Shea?
Yeah.
What? Is that what it's called? Do I have that wrong?
That's a completely different title. 50
Grades of Shea.
50 Grades of Shea.
Yeah, I read that.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Her name's Shea McQueen. 50 different grades of her.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I have a question for you, Lisa. Part of the reason this 50 Grades of Shea is such a phenomenon is that women love their porn.
That was a moment with Bean.
Women do love their porn, though.
They do.
That is a true fact.
Can't get enough of it.
No idea how any of us still have a job, frankly. No idea. All right. Kevin and Bean Show, 8:53, Friday. Ralph is here. Showbiz Beat, what's going on?
The reason we were talking about 50 Shades of Grey is because the popular best-selling book is being turned into a movie. And now Us Weekly Magazine says casting rumors have abound that the inside track is going to Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart of Twilight fame.
That really is a disaster.
Kristen Stewart very much wants to make another film with her real-life boyfriend, and she thinks they would be a very good team in this project. Now, having said that story this morning, I got word from several different twitards who have contacted me and said this book started out as online fan fiction.
Yes?
From Twilight characters.
Oh, really? It was based on that?
Yes.
Oh.
And it was largely a fictionalized version of a fantasy about a relationship between Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. The woman who wrote this book was a diehard twihard, and she fantasized about them having sex and wrote this fan fiction online, this erotic fan fiction, that was later novelized and then they changed the names of the characters for the benefit of the new novel.
But do they want the movie to be successful?
Well, this person who wrote me said if you put those two characters in there, all the twihards who used to follow this thing when it was fan fiction and then read the book and bought the book would go streaming to the theaters to see these two actors play out these fantasies that were based on them in the first place.
Yeah, knowing that, it sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like great casting now that I know the backstory.
Yeah.
That's terrible casting.
Look, Kevin.
Those two can't act.
Listen to me.
It's not for you.
It's not for you.
It's not for me.
I mean, look at the Twilight movies. They couldn't act in those either and didn't slow down that juggernaut.
Yeah, but this book isn't for that age group, is it?
Or is it?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, they've grown.
I don't think it is.
These movies have been going on for several years, so a lot of them are older.
Maybe the Twitards have grown up. Look, the Twitards used to be lonely teenage girls with cats who couldn't get laid, and now they're lonely grown women with cats who can't get laid. So the franchise is growing up along with them. I think that's sweet.
That's going to be the least sexy movie ever.
More movie news. Maleficent. Maleficent is the name of a movie.
Could you use it in a sentence, please?
Yes. Maleficent.
No.
Meaning evil.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It is a, they're rebooting all these fairy tale movies, like Snow White.
Yes.
Which was Happily Ever After. I don't know, what was it? Mirror, Mirror. Mirror, Mirror was Snow White.
Right.
And now they've got Snow White and the Huntsman coming out. Those are sort of adult reboots of the Disney classic and the longtime fairy tale Snow White. They're doing the same thing now with Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
But Sleeping Beauty has been renamed Maleficent.
What's wrong with Sleeping Beauty?
Apparently,
what's wrong with any other word we can say?
Maleficent is a horrible name for a film.
You know, I'll never say it once right.
No, you won't.
Not one time.
Maleficent. Maleficent.
Nope.
It does sound like someone who might be friends with LaQuisha.
Angelina Jolie has been cast as the evil witch.
Well, now you're talking.
Who puts the sleeping spell on Princess Aurora, played by Elle Fanning.
Oh, wow. Good actors.
Good actors. Horrible title.
Horrible title.
So, Maleficent in a theater near you. But
I want a good movie.
Angelina Jolie is the evil queen. I mean, that's your dream casting right there. Perfect, perfect choice.
As long as you can't get Kristen Stewart.
Well, Kristen Stewart's in Snow White and the Huntsman. Oh. She plays Snow White in that. Who's supposed to be more beautiful than the queen, Charlize Theron. That's where they lost me. Yeah. And they said it was too good to be true when Van Halen got back together again and announced they're going on a big summertime tour. Looks like they were right.
They didn't really get along.
Van Halen has canceled a bunch of its tour dates this summer.
Yeah.
Right now, the schedule only goes through June 26th. A lot more dates were supposed to be added, but that's not going to happen. And more than 30 shows have been scrapped. No reason has been given for this change of plans.
Look, when this tour was announced, we were on the air saying, if you are dying to see David Lee Roth back with Van Halen, go to one of the first shows on the tour, because those might happen. Yeah. The later ones definitely won't.
Because they make each other crazy.
A, they don't get along at all. B, there's a lot of drug trouble. So,
is this inside sources talking here, Kevin, or is this speculation?
Speculation.
So, inside sources.
Inside sources, yeah. Who's your source? Who's your source? Who told you?
I said speculation.
Who told you? Who's
I
your
said
source?
Speculation. Whatever that word is.
I said speculation.
Mephicillin. All right, I did that on purpose.
Sure you
that
did.
One time, I promise.
And is this Eddie and Dave? Is that what the... We go back to that problem. Yeah, they just can't be in the same room.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
How could you stand David Lee Roth, honestly?
No, it's Wolfie and Alex. That's who it is, Bean. They're just not getting along. Yeah, it's those two guys. And congratulations to Bono. He's a much, much richer man today. With Facebook going public on the New York Stock Exchange, it gives Bono's investment of 2.3% into Facebook in 2009, which he paid $90 million for. That gives him a return of $1.5 billion.
That seems like a positive result.
Now that the Facebook company has been valued at more than $100 billion worth of stock.
And might I add, ching!
Bono cashes in yet again, so congratulations. And Donna Summer has passed away. Sadly, the disco icon passed away yesterday at 63 with a long battle with cancer, apparently. So she was a legend.
You know what's fascinating about this story, Ralph, and I don't think we've mentioned this yet, is that even though she was an on and off again lifelong smoker, she believes the reason she got lung cancer was because of the 9/11, because of being close to ground zero in 9/11. She's always maintained that. From breathing all that bad air in the days after the attack in New York.
Probably didn't help.
Nope.
But
she also has no idea if that's the case.
She doesn't know.
No, she has no idea.
Oh, and I smoke.
Yeah. LaDonna Adrienne Gaines was her real name. Did you know that?
No.
Donna Summer was a stage name. 63 years old. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Johnson is 37 years old today. See, if he was 73, he would be really good looking.
He would look great.
Tina Fey is 42. Martika is 43 years old.
Yep.
No.
Guess we don't have time for toy soldiers. Sadly.
Nope.
Paige Hamilton of Helmet is 52. Chow Yun-Fat, the very talented actor, is 57. And Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, who also draws those wonderful pictures on Yo Gabba Gabba. He's 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Why, yes, Bean, I'd love to play another highlight from the Kings game.
Here is King with it off the wall. Gets a shot. He scores!
That's Dwight King, who's a... they brought him up from the minor leagues, and he's scoring like crazy in the playoffs.
Making quite an impact.
So good.
Do these guys ever lose, Kevin? Is that a thing that happens for the Los Angeles Kings anymore?
They lost a lot during the season. It was super frustrating because anybody that followed the Kings knows they built this team to play like this.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're playing like this in the playoffs, which is when you want them to play. But wow, was it frustrating halfway through.
Well, it's a crazy time to be an L.A. sports fan right now. Not so much for the Orange County folks. They're not really enjoying it quite as much as the L.A. people are. But check this out. Lakers NBA playoffs. Clippers NBA playoffs. Kings NHL playoffs. Oh, did you notice the similarity there? All three share a building. Staples Center is hosting all three this weekend. What must that be like trying to put six games in 3 days? The general manager for the Staples Center, Lee Zeidman, joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lee, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
We're very delighted to have you. Kevin has spent half of the last 6 months in your building, so
that's great.
I've seen him many a night there.
I saw you last night, and I have to be honest. Let me just read the schedule for people real quick. Last night was Kings Coyotes. Today is Lakers Oklahoma City. Tomorrow is Clippers San Antonio, followed by Lakers Oklahoma City. Sunday is Kings Phoenix Coyotes. You're also doing the 120 cyclists competing in the Tour of California that ends at Staples Center right about when the game starts, and then Sunday night is Clippers versus Spurs.
Now, unprecedented.
That's, I would say, stupid.
I wouldn't say stupid. I'd say it's the perfect storm, and it's fantastic for all of our Los Angeles sports fans, the three teams, and all the men and women who work at Staples Center.
Lee, I saw you last night at the Kings game. You didn't look worried. You didn't look frazzled. You look like you didn't have a care in the world. Is that because everyone else does the work?
No, let me tell you something. I'm blessed to be, you know, surrounded by great men and women who know how to run this building with me. It's fantastic time for everybody. Everybody is looking forward to this weekend because it's never been done anywhere in any arena in this country. And the eyes of the country are actually upon us. You're going to have 250,000 people go through downtown Los Angeles with over 100 million people watching that bike race. It couldn't be a better time to be here now.
Yeah. Lee, let's talk about the logistics for a second. I mean, I can't even imagine what's involved in just a regular day with one event at Staples Center with the hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are involved in doing it. But, like, how long does it take, for instance, when a basketball game ends, how long does it take to get the arena prepped for whatever's next?
Well, we can do it in about an hour and 15 minutes. When you go from a Lakers-Clippers or Clippers to Lakers, about an hour and 15. When you go hockey to basketball or basketball to hockey, about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Then your playing surface is ready. But what people really don't understand is that this building's 1 million square feet, 168 suites. Kevin's probably been in all of them, by the way. and you know, all those concession stands. So you've got to stock it and get it ready to go for the 20,000 people that left and the new 20,000 coming in.
Do you do that with child labor?
Let me tell you something. The men and women who work here are the anybody will tell you how good their people are. These people are the best, and it's going to be on view for everybody this weekend.
Are the professional sporting events far enough apart that there's enough parking for people who are coming down to all the events at Staples this weekend?
My only concern is twofold. First, we want the Kings fans to park north of Staples Center, get here early. We're opening up the building about 9 a.m. We're going to have donuts and coffee up until 10:30 free. We want the Amgen Tour of California people to park down south by SC and the Sports Arena, lots 5 and 6, and take the Metro up here. Take mass transit. We also have free shuttles to drive people up here as well. That said, my biggest concern, and Kevin will probably tell you this, is that if it goes overtime on Sunday's game and the Kings are fortunate to sweep, you do a trophy presentation, we're going to be pushed to get ready for 7:30 tip-off.
And even if there's an overtime in the game, for God's sakes, you're really going to be pushing it. It's going to be tight. All right, get off the ice. Stop celebrating. Let's go, people. Move, move, move. That's just going to be crazy.
We'll be asking everybody to please pick up your trash around you so the next person coming in will have a clean seat.
Now, it's funny. This is the voice of Lee Seidman. He is the general manager of Staples Center, where the eyes of the country are going to be on all weekend long with the professional sporting events in town. You talked about how it was a perfect storm. I mean, when you have all three professional franchises as tenants of your building, you know that this is certainly a possibility. But up until this year, it's never happened before, right?
Never in the 13-year history of Staples Center has all three made it. And when you think about it, right now there are only 8 NBA teams playing in the playoffs and 4 NHL teams, which means 3 out of those 12 are playing in this building right now. Unheard of, unprecedented, and it will never happen anywhere else but Staples Center due to the fact that we have 2 NBA teams.
Can you do anything about the Lakers' fortune and the Clippers' fortune so far in the playoffs? Are you able to fix that in some way?
I am going to do everything in my power to spread the magic dust around Staples Center for those 4 games and hope that dust stays there for the Kings game Sunday afternoon.
It does seem like you have the power as the general manager. You've got an all-access pass. You could go anywhere you want in the building. You know, just put a little grease in front of their bench or something. There must be something you could do, Lee. Come on.
I got one thing better. I got the keys. I can lock those doors.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you don't sound at all nervous. You sound like you're stoked and looking forward to pretty much living in your building this weekend, right?
You know, you have to understand that we do this on a normal, you know, year-round. In the month of March, for instance, we did 33 events in 31 days. So this is something that we do all the time. The difference here is that it's the playoffs, 3 teams. You've got the Amgen Tour of California, 250,000 people coming by. So it's a bigger field to play right now.
I had about 4 employees of yours, all female, tell me that there's a lot of good females behind the male that is you. And they wanted me to bring that out for sure.
Let me tell you something. I have, and I told you this earlier, not only are the part-time the employees the best that work here, I'm surrounded by, from an operations standpoint, guest services standpoint, and booking standpoint, the finest people in the business. The men and women and the women who work for me could be running arenas anywhere in the country or internationally, and they've chosen to be here at Staples Center. Some of them have been with me for 13 years now.
That's why Lee's not worried. That's it.
Let me ask you one more question, Lee, and I'm sure that you must get so many requests for free tickets from people or people who either are willing to buy them. When it gets to playoff time and the demand's so exceeds the supply. You just have to turn off your BlackBerry, right?
You know what? I have people and family members who think that I just have a drawer full of tickets. And anytime somebody calls, I pull them out.
You just heard it. Lee has a drawer full of tickets. At any time you need them, he pulls them. Oh, that's not what you don't?
No. I don't have a drawer full. But let me tell you something. I do know. I'll give you a number. It's a Ticketmaster's number. You can call that anytime.
All right. StaplesCenter.com is the website. Obviously, we're rooting for the Kings, the Lakers, and the Clippers. It's going to be a big weekend for them and a big weekend for Lee Zeidman and his staff at Staples Center. Thank you so much for joining us, Lee. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye. What about Adam Carolla joining us on the phone right now with his next live podcast on stage at the Irvine Improv Wednesday, May 23rd with special gay Ralphie May.
Special gay.
What happens when you put special guest and Ralphie May together and try to save time? Special guest Ralphie May, who is not gay at all, but he's fat. Tickets on sale now.
That'd be the ultimate foster kid, though, wouldn't it? Special gay.
Listen, I know you're called, first of all, hi, Adam, how are you, my friend?
Good. Better now.
I know you're called to do This Week in Rage, but when you have time, let's have you come on or come in or something like that and spend a little time when the book comes out, because I read it this week. Thank you so much for sending me an advance copy of it, but I read the book this week, and I feel like you're a different person than the guy I know, because I only met you as an adult. I don't realize how retarded your early years were.
Oh, but you could guess that, couldn't you?
I never looked at Carolla and picture him to be a burnout or a stoner or a juvenile delinquent or all the other things that he was, and I never knew what extreme poverty and child abuse you survived to become the man you are today, Adam. I mean, it was very eye-opening to read your book.
Well, thank you. It was just a dusting of abuse. It was more benign neglect than it was abuse, to be fair.
Well, nobody's ever allowed to complain that that life is hard after reading Adam Carolla's book. I'm telling you what, because you overcame some stuff, dude. So well done. Let's talk about that when we get closer to the book coming out.
In all seriousness, it's somewhere in the book. My life of no air conditioning, drudgery, and misery all left the day I met you guys in Kimmel. I mean, that was the beginning of the good part. If you read the book, it was 30 years of hell. And then I walked into the old K-Rock building in 1994. So you guys play a huge part of that.
Well, even though that's true, you also point out lots of people have opportunities that they just don't do anything with. You were smart enough to realize that, hey, here's something that can change my circumstances, and I'm not going to let this go by. I'm going to make something of myself, and you did.
You must have been thinking, I can't believe it. I'm so much funnier than these guys. You really must have thought, this is unbelievable. This is great.
No, it was honestly... I would, you know, look, when I work construction, everybody just listened to rock and roll rants, so we'd have to listen to Mark and Brian, and you guys think you're not funny. Oh, man. I was just sitting there making, you know, $9 an hour, ripping a roof off a house in Pacoima and listening to Mark and Brian going, oh, my God, could I do this?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you have, and much
better. The book is great. It's called Not Taco Bell Material. You can pre-order it with a link through adamcarolla.com. It comes out on June 12th. It is much recommended. It is Friday. Adam is here, though, with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, this time I thought I'd stick to one topic, but there's 10 slots, so I'll go fast.
All right.
I'll just highlight them. Forbes Most Powerful came out, their list. I'm sure you guys have gotten into this.
Sure.
The Most Powerful list, and it happens every year. First, Jennifer Lopez is at the top. I'm astounded by that. I'm still not exactly sure what she does.
She's the most powerful person in entertainment.
The most powerful, number one, Jennifer Lopez. And, I mean, you got Jerry Bruckheimer and Spielberg and everything way down the list from her. J-Lo, number one. Number two, Oprah. Number four, by the way, Rihanna. Kim Kardashian's number seven. Lady Gaga's, like, number eight. Britney Spears. I'm just saying, it's all chicks.
Yeah.
And, by the way, half of them are half-breeds, which would make them a quarter breed. I'm just saying, like, they're all either Latino or black or from some island that Elton John sung about many years ago, or Armenian. I'm just saying, like, every time someone does the thing where they talk about, you know, look, we've come a long way when it comes to minorities and women's rights, but there's still a long way to go. Check the Forbes list. Tell me how far we got to go.
It's that glass ceiling that men have to look up through.
I swear, out of the top 10 is Jennifer Lopez, Oprah, Rihanna, and Kim Kardashian. That's four of the top 10. Then you have Britney Spears and Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber, number three. It's like they're making this list to annoy you. Katy Perry, seven of the top 10. It's not hottest chicks in Hollywood. It's the Forbes most powerful. They're women and mostly minorities. So really,
eight if you count Bieber as a woman.
Yes, and I do.
Okay.
Wow. I'm just saying, maybe we've made a little too much progress, and it's time to reel it in. That's what I'm saying.
Really? That's
your
point?
In other words, Forbes, take it seriously and put some white guys in your list. That's what you're saying.
I thought you were going to say good on you.
No, toss in. I want to see like some guy with a gin blossom, you know, Rush Limbaugh type. Toss one fat, bloated, white Republican guy somewhere on there.
Haven't we had enough of them?
And let's even it out just a little bit. Also, the only good thing about Jennifer Lopez being number one, and there's really nothing about that, A, we know for sure now she doesn't drive a Fiat. That much
right.
That true. Much we know.
That was known before.
Number two, I was pissed off until I thought about Mark Anthony seeing this, and then I realized how miserable this would make him, and then I immediately got happy again. I don't know why. Maybe it's that god-awful I Need to Know song. Maybe it's just the fact that he bounces from one chick to the next while the first one's pregnant. I hate Mark Anthony.
Okay.
I don't know why I hate that man so much. I would like to put him in one of those water balloon launchers and just shoot him into the sun so I never have to hear his name again. That's how it works. Oh, he's light enough. Anytime you're under a buck 30,
I didn't realize.
You can make it to the, you can escape the orbit
right
and
to
make
the sun.
It to the sun. All I'm saying is J-Lo, don't know. Britney Spears, I thought she was over with 6 years ago.
Yeah, well,
she's like number six. What's
she bounced
going
back
on?
Big, yeah.
She ran in, she had a disaster 6 years ago, but she sort of has rehabbed herself and sort of has a new music people like, blah, blah, blah.
I gotta get down to Forbes and figure this one out. This has got to be rejiggered. We got to get some non-color onto this list.
You're the only guy saying that, Adam. That's why we love you.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla Show. You can listen to the podcast, buy the book, and buy tickets to his upcoming shows at adamcarolla.com. And again, don't miss him Wednesday, May 23rd, at the Irvine Improv with the very heterosexual and very funny Ralphie May as special guest. Have a great weekend, Ace. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you soon.
Guys.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Wednesday, May 23rd, with special gay Ralphie May.
I'm sorry.
Gay.
Come on.
That was right. A moment with Bean.
Why do you got to attack the man's sexuality?
Bean's on fire today.
I have rarely, if ever, had two moments with in 1 hour. Come on. With the come on.
I got to tell you, too, on Twitter, everybody thinks it's me immediately when there's a mistake made, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But it's Bean today.
Well, maybe so Bean didn't want to leave one. His moments with at an odd number, so he had to turn it up to an even number so that they wouldn't be an ugly number of moments with.
I'm trying to get
today.
To an even 100. That's what I'm shooting for. Right. So, all right, 941. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Good news for your penises today, fellas. A little-known appearance on television by Naya Rivera, who, of course, stars as Santana, the lesbian cheerleader on Glee.
Yes, she's very hot.
Little-known video from a Spike Network TV show back in 2007 has surfaced on the internet today. We've been enjoying it in the other room very much so. The show is called A Wild World of Spike, and the premise is three regular guys compete with each other, doing challenges and stuff. And then one of the challenges was to do an amateur pole dancing competition to find three girls who had never pole danced before and put them up on the pole.
Yes.
And see who wins.
And she's one of them.
Naya Rivera, a 20-year-old college student who had never pole danced before, so she claims, was one of the contestants in a
Gentlemen,
school.
Start your boners.
On a naughty schoolgirl outfit she wears on the stage there. And,
all right.
Brings out the cans, by the way.
Really?
She's the best.
Yeah. Unfortunately, being that it's Spike, it is censored. You just see a black bar where the boobs.
Oh, you meant
are.
She brought him out for real? Like,
yeah.
I thought you just meant showing him off.
No,
with the
she
outfit.
Didn't just bring him with him.
Oh.
She didn't show up with him. She brought him out to play.
How about that?
Yeah, so you can find that on YouTube right now. I just want to give you a little heads up because I know we're fans of hers,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking forward to talking to her about it now. See you, Kevin.
All right.
Where are you going?
Come on.
Kevin, where are you going?
It's on his computer.
Can't we put it up on a computer here, on the monitor here, so yeah, you
Kevin
can stay?
Kevin can't exist another minute without seeing that.
Do the rest of the,
like
the rest
you told
of the show.
Me to.
Donna Summer, music icon of the disco era and beyond, has passed away. Died yesterday.
Beans Touching Sound Effect Tribute.
The age of 63.
We need an intro for Beans Touching Sound Effect Tribute.
He's got a bunch of them. She had a long battle with cancer. Died at the age of 63. Countless smash hits. Love to Love You Baby. Last Dance. Hot Stuff. Bad Girls. She Works Hard for the Money. Remember that one?
Yeah. Sure.
She Works Hard for the Money. So hard for it, honey.
Yep.
Omar threw together a little montage of some of her biggest hits.
Have the, that many hits if you only use one drum beat.
That hi-hat gets a workout in her songs, I'll tell you.
God. Was everybody in the room air drumming to that?
Yes, we were.
You have to.
We're rocking out to Donna Summers.
MacArthur Park, Heaven Knows, Love to Love You Baby. I mean, it's incredible how many songs she had, because a lot of those disco artists, you know, they were studio creations. They had one song, maybe two, and then they were gone, but she really had a career.
She had Love to Love You Baby. I think it was like a 14-minute song.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just her, like, moaning, basically.
Laying on the floor. Recording it, yeah.
Moaning and
I think I've heard that.
Enjoying herself.
All right.
I remember as a youth putting headphones on in my bedroom.
Oh, I don't want to hear any
more. Queuing up that song.
Don't want to know any more about this
story. Late at night.
Right.
Just me and the headphones.
Yep.
Late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Exploring my young sexuality.
Got enough of that story.
I'm just saying, you have no idea. You have no idea what I did to Love to Love
You
Baby.
We do.
I don't think you have an idea.
I think we do.
I'm not sure you do.
Pretty good idea.
Here's the song. Do it to me again and again. You put me in such an awful spin in the spin.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Not done. This was all good. This was a little bit scandalous when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of stations wouldn't play it.
Why? Because she was like moaning sexy.
I mean, there's one chunk of the song. It's just her just like going for it.
That's not this part.
Maybe no, coming up. No. Here we go.
All right.
This is the part you used to turn up when you were a kid?
Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love to love you, baby. Oh. That hi-hat, it worked out.
She's
my penis
herself.
On that hi-hat. She's not even a drumstick.
She's enjoying herself, but the drummer is not.
Well, he's working. She's not. Yeah. This was her first big hit.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
35 years later, it's still a little bit uncomfortable.
Pretty good.
She does this for 14 minutes. Fantastic.
Wow. That's my new favorite song.
I listened to that song about a minute at a time.
See, Kevin, you didn't even care yesterday when you heard she was dead, but now you realize it's quite a loss, right?
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't care. Yeah, it was that I didn't care. But Bean cared a lot. I mean, Bean's heart was broken.
I was very sad. She was so young.
That's sad. It's odd
so
because Bean doesn't
so
have a heart.
She's pretty hot, too.
That happened.
She was pretty hot. Right. Put them together. Just saying. I have to go in the other room now. I'm like Pavlov's dog. Today's celebrity birthdays. Magic Johnson's 37 years old today. Comedian Tina Fey, actress, writer, creator of 30 Rock. What a talent. 42 years old today. Martika turns 43 years old. She was the singer, actress who gave us Toy Soldiers.
Yes, she did.
Paige Hamilton of Helmet, 52 years old. Chow Yun-Fat, 57 years old. And Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We usually just play Don Bogart because we don't really have a Monday show, but we actually have a pretty good show on Monday. We have David Shore coming in, who is the creator of House.
House.
Oh. Can we talk to him about the It's Bobby spinoff, Ralph?
I think it's about time. We broke the news about It's Bobby, yeah.
We have Frank Mir from UFC 146 in studio. We have Harvey Levin. We have LaQuisha taking a look at the Kardashian show.
Wow.
We have a brand new internet roundup.
Wow.
We have more beer mug interviews. We have a lot for you on Monday. So.
Wow. Saturday night, by the way, me and Jay Moore at the Lovitz. Go to thelovitz.com. You want to see us do Hollywood Babylon? Love to have you. Come on, do it. Do it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get in my vagina.
Don't bogart that joint.
All right,
joint,
you insist.
My friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm not comfortable with that analogy.
Roll another one.
That makes you a bad person.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Why do so many people hate you?
And I need another hit.
Pot is a gateway drug. If you start smoking marijuana, next you will be doing energy drink enemas and having sex with various marsupials, including kangaroos, but not limited to wombats.
Roll another one.
I like meat.
Just like the other one.
I love little girls.
This one seems to be about to end.
Hey, want to party on my c***?
I don't have another cent.
Now that we've found love, what are we gonna do?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just pass it around.
What's happening?
Well, don't bother that joint, my friend.
There is a new way to get a facial.
Well, just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Well, what did everybody think?
Ah, that stunk.
Worst episode ever.
Let's burn this mother down!
It's over. The end. I am pulling the plug.
Now go on. You heard me. Go on. Go on, scram. Go. I hate you. Go. Ah! Ah! Go back to your kind.
Guess I'll be on my way then.